And last week, as we brought things to a close, I said, listen, guys, it's not far. What we're talking about is not a long way off. It's right in front of us. It's right here if we can just grab hold of it, this idea of experience. And throughout this series, we've talked about a lot of different ways for us to begin to experience God in our life. And we've talked about the fact that we can experience Him in our daily time with Him. We've talked about the fact that we can experience Him in our relationship with others. And we've talked about the fact that we can begin to experience Him in the way that we serve those around us. And throughout this series, we've been challenging you over and over and over again to begin to take steps towards this idea of experience. And tonight, as we bring things to a close, what I want to do is I want to look back. And at the beginning of this series, I made a promise to you. I said, listen, if you will begin to do this, if you will begin to act on what God says, I promise you that when we get to the end of this journey, when we get to the end of this 6 weeks, that God will begin to change your life. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to look back over the last 6 weeks, and what we're going to do is we're going to take time to remember. We're going to take time to look at, okay, what has God been doing? See, that's really what this book is all about. It's an opportunity for every single one of us to be able to open up and see that, you know what, it's not far. It's an opportunity for every single one of us, no matter where you are in your journey, to be able to open this up and to be able to find people just like you, people just like me, who found what they were looking for. It's an opportunity for us to be able to remember that God is moving, that God is active, that God's real. This idea of remembering is key to this whole experience. When God is working in the nation of Israel early on in this book, and he's leading them out of slavery, and he says, listen, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to take you to this promised land. I'm going to take you to this place you've been dreaming of. And in order to get there, they have to cross this river. And he says, listen, I'm not just going to take you around the river. We're not going to build a bridge over the river. He says, we're going to go right through the river. I'm going to split the river right in half. You're going to be able to walk through on dry ground. And so he does this, and this begins to happen. I want to read to you a passage that we find in the middle of this story. It's found in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And they're in the middle of crossing through this river, and it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take the 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, each one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In your future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. You begin to pick up this book, you begin to see God over and over again calling people to this idea of remembering, this idea of telling the story. And he's in the middle of doing this incredible thing for the nation of Israel, and he splits this river in half, and this entire nation walks through, and he says to Joshua, who's the leader of these people, he says, I want you to pick 12 guys, I want you to go in there, I want you to get 12 stones from the very middle of this river. And I want you to set up a monument to me on the other side. Why? So that when your children walk by it every single time, as you and your children walk by this place, they'll ask you, what in the world? Why are those stones piled up there, Dad? I want to tell you about how great God is. And you'll be able to over and over again remember how great God is. Remember what God has done. It's key to this whole journey. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, 9, God actually gives the nation of Israel warning. He says, but watch out, Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. This key, this idea of remembering is at the very heart of this journey. Because it's very easy for us to forget, and it's very easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that this idea of experience is far. You know what? I can never get there. You know what? And for some of you, when I say it's not far, even now, as you're hearing me say that, you're like, what are you? The idea that you could experience God in your life is something so foreign. You're like, I have no idea how to get there. I have no idea where to start. It's really easy to forget. It's really easy to begin to think that it's a long ways off. And so God gave us this book for us to be able to, over and over again, to be able to read through these pages and read of the stories of people just like me, just like you, who found exactly what they were looking for. And tonight, we want to go beyond that, and we want to turn, and throughout this series, we've been looking at the stories that we find here, and tonight we want to turn to the stories of the people who are sitting right beside you. Because I want you to see that it's not far. I want you to see that no matter where you are tonight, no matter where you are in this journey, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, that you can actually begin to find exactly what you're looking for. So tonight we're going to have all sorts of stories. Tonight, would you join me in welcoming our first story to the stage? Her name is Clara. Now, as I spoke with those who are going to be sharing their story tonight, I asked them to answer one question. One, how has your experience of God changed throughout the past 6 weeks or throughout this journey? And two, how has that begun to affect your life? Right? We went into this journey with three ideas. That one, I am a spiritual being. Two, Jesus Christ came to give me life to the fullest. And three, I can begin to find that when I experience God's Spirit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So what I've asked these guys to do is to share with you, one, how have they begun to change in their experience of Him? And two, how has that changed their life? So, Claire? Is it on? It's not on. I think you got it.
Is it on now?
There we go.
The first time I came to the church at Hoboken, there were people up on stage sharing their stories, so I kind of feel that it's fitting that almost a year later I'm up here. But I'm Clara, and as some of you know, I'm a teacher upstairs at Mustard Seed School. It's a Christian school on the second and third floor of this building. And we have worship every day in my school. And in the month of October, we were studying the prayer of St. Francis, which begins, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." And I want to read to you the second half of that prayer. It says, "O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." So we spent a whole month studying that prayer, and I'm going to tell you the story that made it really real to me. A few weeks ago, I had a doctor's appointment, and I was very anxious about it. I'm very nervous, and it was on a Friday, and I didn't have to teach that day, so I had plenty of time to dwell on it, and all my friends were at work, and my family lives thousands of miles away, and my mum died a few years ago, so I was really missing my mum, and I was just upset and anxious and seeking to be consoled, as the prayer says. I texted people. I changed my Facebook status so that people would know I was having a bad day. But unfortunately, people have lives, and so nobody really got back to me. So I had to be in school even though I wasn't teaching that day. And at lunchtime, the teacher from the third grade came to meet me where I was having lunch, and she said that their class were walking to the Hoboken homeless shelter to make a delivery that they had collected paper plates and napkins and things like that that the shelter needs. And she asked if I would like to go along because I've been on one of their field trips before. So I was thrilled to have something to do and get me out of school and get me away from my own head. So we walked to the homeless shelter with a bunch of eight-year-olds. And it was the first time that I had been inside the homeless shelter. I've delivered food there before, but never actually been inside. And I got to meet some of the people who were there having lunch and some of the staff workers as well. And the third grade sang a version of the Prayer of St. Francis to the people who were there. And it was only by going and by removing myself from my needs and my selfish desires and just taking myself outside of me that the second or the end of the prayer of St. Francis really rang true to me about that it is in giving that we receive. Because stepping outside myself and consoling and giving to other people was the only thing that actually brought me peace that day before I had the test. And then last week, Chris spoke. He spoke on Matthew 25 in the sermon. And one of the verses from that was, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And I even texted during the sermon and said, this reminds me of the prayer of St. Francis, as we were sat there. So this last month, really thinking about the prayer of St. Francis every day and doing my 15 minutes and listening to Chris's sermons has shown me a lot of things. It's shown me the needs that I have. I have a big desire for independence. I'm a very independent person. And it showed me that that's impossible, basically, that we all need people and that I need my community here. And I especially need my God. And he is very dependable, that people here let me down, but God never does. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Next, I'd like to welcome Nick to the stage.
Hey, guys. I am Nick. I am from Monday's Dinner Group. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Apparently, though, look at Tuesday's group. All down front, right here, except for Joey. So, you know, next week. I know, Jeff, you came ready to fight with your uniform, but, you know, front row next time, buddy. Anyways, sorry for got to get up here and do a joke, but it just feels natural. what I wanted to share, what Chris asked me to share, is that I've been doing this 15 minutes before like this series started. Chris had brought this up to me in a meeting that we had back in June about this concept, and just really started to do the 15 minutes. At first, you know, you go into it and you're thinking, man, these 15 minutes, like, that's nothing, just 15 minutes, but you know, I don't even know where to go with my story here, but I'm trying to put it together. where I do my 15 minutes, I'll start there, is when I wake up in the morning, I get ready, and then I leave for work, and I take the light rail, and then I take the path into work, and then I walk all the way down to the South Ferry from that. So it's like a 45-minute commute. And when I started, you know, the easy part was sort of listening to the song. And that would take 5-10 minutes, and then I try to pray and get that 5 minutes in, and then try to read something for 5 minutes. And when I started, I would struggle to get to that 15 minutes. And over time, just continually meeting with God, you know, that became easier and easier. And I think the reason that it started to become easier and easier is because the more you go to it, the more I could start to feel God's presence and really start to recognize what his voice sounds like to me. And eventually I've gotten to the point where my entire commute is pretty much all with God, and it's just a great way to start my morning. And the best way I can compare it to is I used to be a cross-country runner. It doesn't look like it anymore because that was like 5-6 years ago. But when you start running, you can only do a mile or two or even just walk a little bit and stuff. But eventually you start building up. And I think the spiritual side of you is a lot like the physical side where, you know, you really have to start building on that. And eventually you actually start to enjoy those 8-mile runs and things like that, as crazy as it sounds. The other effect that it's had on my life is in the mornings I can be kind of a grumpy person. I get a temper pretty quickly. My sister might know that the most. and my mother, she's here today. So, but being able to take my frustrations and give them to God first thing in the morning has really helped me when I walk in the door at work a lot. And I can just remember this one day I came in and just smiling and saying hello to people as I'm walking in and just them noticing that there's something different, you know, just finding ways to stand out. So that's
cool. You know, story. So,
all right, our next story, one of the things that I did is I contacted our dinner group leaders and I asked them, you know, if you, as the people in your dinner group are sharing, is if there's anyone who shared a story that you really think everybody needs to hear, if you'd let me know. And so his dinner group leader let me know, and I contacted him, and he emailed me back his story. And so I was like, yes, I want you to share, but I don't want you to talk. I want you to read exactly what you wrote me, because you're never going to be able to say it as well as you just did. It was incredible. And so, Justin, if you would come to the stage, and we were so prepared beforehand that I have his email on my phone, and he's going to be reading it off there. So everybody, welcome Justin.
Hey, guys. All right, I'm just going to start reading it. Here we go. Hey, Chris. While I was sharing with our dinner group how when you said we need God like we need food and water, it was hard for me to relate in my own personal experience. For months, I had been struggling with spending consistent time praying and reading the Bible, and help in this area was a recurring prayer request to my dinner group. Okay, screen went black. Technical difficulties. How do I scroll down?
This is going to be a group story.
Here. Oh, you can do it.
Let's I got see. It.
All right. Look at this. This is nice.
It is.
Should have someone do this for you.
I feel awkwardly right. close to you.
All right. Spending time with God was usually something I had to make myself do out of willpower instead of something I really looked forward to doing. So then I took your challenge. Some days I missed, but overall I was able to make it a priority and was pretty consistent. At first, it was almost entirely willpower motivating me to spend time with God each day. There were many days where I was distracted or felt ashamed to go to God, but I tried to put these things aside and tried to have faith that God wanted me to spend time with him anyway. When I did spend time with God, I felt peace and joy, and I knew that feeling wasn't just warm fuzzies, but that was the Holy Spirit. But that the Bible teaches us those feelings are the fruits of the Spirit, and I was experiencing God's Spirit. And after a while, those feelings began to creep out of my quiet time and become a more dominant part of who I was in my everyday life. After a couple weeks, I started to notice that if I skipped a day, I regretted it. Not just because I was messing up the challenge, but I missed the feeling of being close to God. When I didn't spend time with God, or when I don't spend time with God, I feel that gentle spirit in me becoming more distant. but I feel rejuvenated when I do spend time with God. Now I can finally say that I know what you mean through my own personal experience, that we need God like we need food and water. It's our time with God that develops those fruits within us. And for me, now that I have experienced them on a consistent basis, I have a genuine desire to not let them wither. And emphasis on the consistent part. This is not to say that it's now easy for me to open up and go to God. I still feel ashamed and distracted many days because I screw up all the time. You can ask Lauren, my fiance. But yeah, I screw up and I still have those feelings. But I'll keep trying to have faith in God's grace now that I know what's at stake and I know firsthand the benefits of spending time with God on a consistent basis. That's it. Thank you.
What I want us to do is, and as we were laying out the night, I asked Charlie, I said, is it possible for us to bring you guys back up? Because I don't want us to just go through these stories and not recognize who's behind them. And so what I want to do now is I want to give us a chance for you guys to be able to kind of step into this and for all of us to be able to turn our eyes to the ones who's making this possible, the one who, as Nick's sharing his story and the fact that it starts off so, it started off and he's working through it and it's almost identical to the story we hear from Justin, right? Where he's like, at first it's just willpower and I'm trying to make myself do it but then all of a sudden I began to realize that something was happening inside of me and it wasn't just, I love how he said that, I knew it wasn't just warm fuzzies, I knew that the Bible teaches me that that's God's Spirit working inside of me. And it starts off that way, and then all of a sudden, God begins to work, and all of a sudden, you begin to experience Him. And as he wrapped up that letter, I loved it, because he's like, now it's so much more important to me, because I know what's at stake. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that feeling. I don't want to lose God's Spirit working in my life. And so tonight, as we listen to those stories and Clara's story about how in service and in giving to others, she's experiencing God. She began to find out that God is absolutely faithful and true when he says it's actually better to give than it is to receive. But all these stories are about one person. They're all about him. Changing us from the inside out. And so tonight, before we go any further, I want to stop and I want us to take a second, and if you would stand with us to praise our God for what he's doing. You guys can be seated. Tonight we have a few more stories that are going to be told from the stage, but they're going to be told with words. But tonight we actually have one story that's going to be told with actions. And tonight we're going to be having a baptism here, and Megan is going to be coming out, and we're not going to do it right now, guys. We're going to have a couple more share stories beforehand, but tonight Megan's going to be coming, and she's going to be sharing her story with actions, and it's going to be this picture of what's happened inside. The beautiful thing about baptism is that it's a physical picture of something that's taken place spiritually. And so she's going to come out here, and it's going to be this picture of the fact that she is not who she used to be, that who she once was has actually died and been brought back to life. The fact that spiritually she's now a new person, the fact that you know what? All the things I've done to hurt those around me, all the things I've done that have messed up my life, all the things I've done that have messed up the lives of the people around me, those things are all gone. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ came and he gave his life for me. It's a story that she shared on this stage a couple weeks ago, and tonight she's going to share it with her actions. It's a big part of what this journey is all about. And as you read through the New Testament, you see that people are taking this step over and over and over again. And so in Acts 2:8, it says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. This idea of baptism is this first step as we say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And it's this physical sign of the fact that, you know what, I am no longer who I am. And she's going to be coming, and she's going to be sharing that story tonight. But I want to share it before our next couple stories, because for some of you, that's your story. For some of you, that needs to be your story. You've been here and you've been walking with us through this experience series, but you haven't yet come to the point where you say, you know what, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to follow him. Where he leads, I'll follow. And so tonight, before we go into the next couple stories, what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to be able to be part of what's going to happen tonight. I want to give you a chance to be able to take that step tonight, to be able to follow in the footsteps of so many who have come before. For you to be able to come up here and with your actions say, you know what, I'm done trusting myself. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I want to experience too. And so I want to extend that invitation to you. As the next stories are told, there's a couple guys standing in the back, and you can go back there and you can talk to them about how you can be a part of this tonight. And for you, maybe you need to have a conversation about what it means to follow and what it means to experience and what Jesus Christ has done for you. The fact that you can have complete peace with God tonight. Or maybe you're here and you've begun to follow, but you have not yet taken this step. Don't wait. Act. All these stories tonight have one thing in common. They acted. They decided to stop believing in God and start believing God. And so tonight I invite you, be part of this. Don't just be an observer. Be a participant. You can go to the back and check in with those guys. They'll walk you through that. All right. Our next story, will you welcome Rachel to the stage?
Hi, my name is Rachel. Chris emailed me earlier this week and asked me to share my story. And I didn't really know what my story was at first. So I started to think about it, and I thought, my experience has been connecting with all of you. I moved to England a week after I graduated college in 2003 and lived there for 6 years. And I never connected with anyone. Like, I didn't make any friends for 6 years. I didn't make anybody that I could count on, except for my husband, who I left in August to move here. He's coming. I didn't leave him, but he's just not here yet. And the day that I got off my honeymoon, Nick, my brother, I moved in with him that day, and I was like, oh, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. And he was like, well, come to church. And I was like, I don't want to go to church. Like, I just left my husband. Are you kidding? But I came anyway because I thought, well, it'll do me good to get out of the house and see some people. And just the people that I met were so real and so genuine, and I felt a connection with these people over like a week's time that I hadn't experienced with all the people that I'd met in the 4 different cities in England that I had lived in 6 years' time. And they were, you know, they wanted to know about me. They wanted to know about where I came from and how I could do this and how they could help me do this and how they could be there to support me. And, you know, I was just, I didn't want to make friends. I wanted to sit here and I wanted to wait for my husband to come. And I was, like, depressed and wanted to be depressed, thank you very much, and be miserable. And these guys, they just wouldn't let me. Like, they would call me and bring me to dinner group and invite me out and just really look after me. And it wasn't just because they were Christians and they had to be a good Christian. It was because they cared. And I think that is my biggest experience. And my first night here, Chris's sermon was about, you know, taking down your walls and letting people in. And I had had like 4 friends in England that I thought were amazing people and they were so good. And every single one of them like turned on me or stabbed me in the back or did something horrible to me. So I didn't need any more best friends either. And I would say that every single girl in my dinner group would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. I just think it's amazing because we're quite a big group as well, to just know that you've got like 16 people, and then, you know, they each have their connections in the church that bring you back. And when Nick and I threw like the kickoff football party at our house, just the amount of people that came, and I just thought, wow, I didn't know that all these people would come out and would socialize with us and would see us and would come to our house. And it just really touched me to see how much everyone here like cared about each other. And I think my journey is to take down my walls and to stop being miserable and to stop being depressed and build a community that when my husband comes over and he's all alone, doesn't know anyone, and he's going to be an Englishman in New York, he will have a whole family here of people that will love and accept him. And he came over in October. And he was a little bit weary to meet all these church people. He was like, you never really went to church before. Why am I meeting all these church people? And he loved them. And he just thought they were amazing and the most genuine, nicest people he'd ever met either. And he's so excited to move here. And it was a move that he wasn't sure he wanted to make. And he wasn't sure he was ready to give up his friends and his family. But everyone that met him was just so welcoming and loving to him that he can suddenly understand why I love Hoboken so much, why I don't want to move, why I don't want to come back home to England to him, why I want him to come here. So I think that's what my experience was, and I think that I've achieved that kind of a lot more over the last 6 weeks just because, you know, we've had so much time to spend together and our quiet time in group and things like that. And I feel like that since he's gone the beginning of October, it's been like 3-4 weeks now that I've needed the church more than ever, and it's been there for me. Like, every day, without a doubt, someone has called me or stopped by or, you know, dropped me an email, anything, just to see how I was doing and make sure I was okay. So that's my experience.
For our next story, I'd like to welcome Vanessa to the stage.
Hi, everyone. It's better because I can't really see you, so. Okay. So at dinner group on Thursday, we were asked to share how our experience with God has been for the past 6 weeks. And we went around the table, and I shared my story, what I'm going to share with you now. Basically, the first 2 to 3 weeks that I was doing the 15 minutes, it was pretty challenging. And I would do it in the morning with my commute from Hoboken to 33rd Street and just really try to force myself to focus and to talk to God. And I felt like I was fairly consistent, but it didn't really I lost my train of thought. It didn't really start to become more natural until I started to listen to music and I started to take some of the advice that I had gotten here from church with how to help me focus my thoughts and help me start to talk to God. And instead of being concerned about my day and my job and what I was going to do at work, I would just tell God, you know, my feelings and the things I was excited about and the things I was worried about. And then by the time I got to work, you know, all of that was gone from my mind and I was fresh and ready to start the day. So I know the other thing I wanted to talk about is before I started to really take 15 minutes a day to spend with God, I felt like my attitude about life was not as positive as I would like it to be. I was remembering every time when I got home from work how the first 10 minutes I would just express all of the bad things that had just happened that day. You know, I would just rant and vent about all of the negative things that happened, and I don't remember the last time I did that. So I feel like that by spending time with God every day, I have really let go of all of that anger I had before, and I've just been really happy and really excited about each day. So I guess that's been my experience, and even though the 6 weeks are over, I'm going to keep experiencing God, not just in the morning, but throughout the day. So that's it.
That's awesome. We have a couple other stories, but we're running out of time. We want to make sure that we get to the baptism. One of the really cool stories that Ryan was actually telling me, I'm just going to kind of tell his story for him, is that Ryan has a relationship with the first person who told a story here. And I hope that was going to be part of your story. But I actually told him beforehand. Some of you are like, wow, I can't believe he just did that. But I actually told him beforehand, I want him to share this. Because the cool thing was I'd get together and I'd meet with Ryan on a consistent basis. And I'm talking to him about his experience. And he's like, yeah, you know, last night I went over to hang out with Clara. And she's like, have you spent 15 minutes? And I was like, no. And she's like, we can't hang out. And I was like, I was so bummed. But it was just really cool to see how the two of them were pushing each other towards God and pushing each other towards this experience. And he was so excited when the one time he was able to come in and say, yeah, but last time she didn't do the 15 minutes. And so I was able to say, we're not going to hang out. And so like the two of them are pushing each other towards God. That's incredible, right? That's what it's supposed to be about, right? This is what the core of what this whole thing is about. This isn't about services. This isn't about the organization of a church. It's about a group of people where somebody can come in and they feel like they're cared for. They know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's somebody who's got their back, right? And they're experiencing God through the love of others. You want to know how the people around you are going to experience God? Through you. And we see all these different stories of how God is working and how God's changing lives. And it's so beautiful to see. And Justin has an incredible story, too, about how as he's walking through this and as he's beginning to dive into this book over and over again, he's seeing how experience plays into this and how you can experience God in more and more ways. It's just incredible. But tonight we get to the final big celebration and the story that's going to be told with action. And so I welcome Megan to the stage. And Lindsay's going to be coming out here as well, because if you were here a couple weeks ago to be able to hear her story, Megan shared about how she first came to seeking Christ and she began this journey because of the relationship that she had with Lindsay. And Lindsay was the one who originally showed, she's a little short, and so you have to stand up for a little while longer because they still want to see. And she shared about how Lindsay's influence on her life, she'd begun to see God through Lindsay, very similar to that story we just heard from Rachel, right, about how we have the ability to be able to show God to those around us. And she shared about how that impacted her. And at first she's like, you know, I'm not really sure about this. But then as she continued down this journey, she began to realize more and more that she needed God,
that she wanted this story to be her story. And so tonight she's going to take this step. And so, Lindsay, if you could just kind of swing in on the other side here. Lindsay's going to help us to be able to baptize her tonight as she's had such a key role in her life. And so, as we take this step, there's really only one question that needs to be asked. Megan, have you fully trusted Jesus Christ with your life?
Yes, I have.
Will you follow wherever he leads?
Yes.
Okay. Megan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. There you go. Guys, that's what it's all about. Tonight we're going to end with a celebration. I'm going to pray for all those who've shared their story here. And as we do, I want to offer you, we're going to go through just one song quickly tonight. But as we do, we're going to wrap up with another call to remembrance. And every single chance that we get, we take this opportunity to remember what Jesus Christ has done in our life. And so as we sing this last song, the guys are going to be at the back, and they're going to have the plates there with the juice and the bread for you to be able to go back and remember what Jesus Christ has done in your life, the fact that he gave his life for you, the fact that this story that we just saw here is your story as well. And so I'm going to pray for those who've told their story. I'm going to pray for the bread and for the juice. And then as we sing this last song, I'd invite you to go back and to remember. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for the stories that we heard tonight. I want to thank you for Megan and the step that she took. I want to thank you that we know that you're alive, that you're working. I want to thank you that you just continue to blow us away with your love. And tonight as we wrap up, we want to remember what you've done in our lives. We want to remember that it's your blood and it's your body that makes this possible. And so tonight, our focus is squarely on you to remember. In Jesus' name, amen.